You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On that program today, could there ever be a Trump of the Democrats? I will pick up on a conversation started last night on Chris Hayes' program. Primary results from a couple of states around the country. The Trumpistas get a scalp, but it's a scalp that I'm happy to see go, frankly. Freedom Caucus just got a little bit less caucusy. And Bernicrat win, basically split. One lost, one won. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're walking around, you see an extra pair of the shoes on the earth. It's because Tim LaHaye passed away last week, floated up to wherever they go. The Trump implosion, is this already the beginning of the end? It just gets uglier and uglier. Wait, no. More beautiful and more beautiful as literally the moments fly by. Can't even keep up with it. New study shows that men are their favorite experts. The TPP finally getting some attention in the media. Some voting fraud statistics sure to upset Donald Trump and Doug, our constitutionalist caller. Uber getting a challenge, perhaps, in New York from co-op app. All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. We have no guest today. Tomorrow on the program, Dave Zirin will be here to talk about the Rio Olympics. Not so much the Olympics, but we had Dave on. Well, we've had Dave on numerous times, but he spoke to us a couple of years ago now, I guess, in the run-up to the World Cup. And the story of Rio and these two monster sporting events is fascinating. And I believe he's in Rio now. So we will be talking to him tomorrow on this program. I will also say that in the fun half today, we may have a return of a guest commentator, my daughter, Myla Cedar. She received a lot of praise. Right now she's watching, I think, DIY videos online. She doesn't even realize I'm talking about her. She just sits there in her own little world.
It's great. We got a little slice of Cedar home life here.
We got a lot of praise. Yes, exactly. I wish it was this quiet. We got quite a bit of praise for her appearance, and I don't know. I mean, I suppose if there's an opportunity for me to retire early and her to step in, if we just work that out with social services. But we will get to that later in the program. I want to start with this, though, which has nothing to do with Donald Trump, per se. It has more to do with Glenn Beck and with Hillary Clinton. As you know, I was at the DNC last week, and we'll talk about this because it dovetails interestingly with a piece that Roth Dachau wrote in the New York Times.
That absolutely needs to be the way his name is pronounced from now on.
I hear it.
Roth Dachau.
Roth Dachau. And then he had a tweet storm afterwards. And it is the delusion involved in all of that got me progressively more angry over the course of the day yesterday. And we will get to that. But well, one of the points that Dachau made in his piece was that Clinton actually presented a fairly liberal program. Now, again, we've said in this past, you can believe or not believe whether or not she's going to execute that or has plans to execute that or whatever it is. But from a rhetorical standpoint, that's what we heard. Glenn Beck, however, the other aspect of the convention was that there was a lot of Republicanish iconography. And there was a lot of accoutrements, if you will, at the convention scene that was, you know, jingoistic, base. It was a little bit, I've said in the past, it made me a little squeamish. Glenn Beck, it was the opposite effect. And here he speaks to Megyn Kelly on Fox News about that very dynamic.
Has her with a 9-point lead over Trump. Now, back in May, you said, I'm telling you, Donald Trump is going to win this election. Given those polls, yeah. Do you stand by that?
I don't want to. I mean, I have no idea because I've been wrong every step of the way on this election. I will tell you this, as I watched both the, in my book, Liars, I talk about what are the tools that progressives use to convince us of these lies. It was quite amazing. One of the first tools is fear. The GOP ran high on fear. But so did the DNC. The DNC made it the fear of Donald Trump. But they did something that the Republicans didn't do. They told a very well-crafted story all the way through that we're better than this. That, I mean, honestly, if I wasn't informed, if I was somebody who didn't know who Clinton was, I didn't recognize Marxist language, I would have watched that and thought, well, those are the people I want to be like. Those people, I like those people.
There you have it. Now, of course, I, however, am taken in by the Marxist language. And so, you know, I had the reverse feeling. The language I was attracted to, but all the other stuff, I was like, if I had watched it with the sound off, I would have been a little bit disturbed.
Yes. Lenin, yes. Apple pie, no.
Right.
But I like how Glenn Beck could have said, like, now, if I didn't have voices in my head and I wasn't a deranged human being and a fantasist, I might have been pretty drawn to their message of centrist positivity about the country.
He's also looking a little bit bloated. I don't know what's going on there, but...
He does hear voices literally because, well...
Clay Potts. Remember he had a dream about Clay Potts?
No, I mean, he does think he can talk to God, which I don't know. You know, some people believe that. And the bloated thing, I think he's bipolar.
Okay,
yeah.
You think
that's it's a medication byproduct?
Yeah, this is like
Nevertheless, I think the
recurring theme with him, it's like crazy talk and then bloated look and then
crazy talk.
That was
talk,
actually the most
bloated look.
That was actually the most reasonable I think I've seen Glenn Beck in a long time. But there you have it, Glenn Beck almost taken in. All right, let's move to I didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about Donald Trump today, but. There's a certain inevitability. I mean, what we're watching is a spectacular flameout. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a little bit early to call it a flameout. However, before we talk about that flameout, I want to just make a plea to you out there, to you gentlemen, right? I think it's basically only, is there only men's? Oh, is there women's too? I had no idea. I should get a pair of these for Nikki, because I got to say, whether you're wearing
and for
a suit,
yourself.
I have a suit or sweats, you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear. That's more or less true, I guess. I hadn't really thought about that, but Kelly doesn't. But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear is probably boring. Me Undies is here to change that. Every pair of MeUndies is made from a sustainably sourced modal. That is a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. Now, this is when Matt chimes in and says, like, I was onto modal, like, 3 years ago.
Four.
4 years ago. So you know. And you already said what? Did you order? Like, did you come in today and say, like, I ordered some?
I ordered a pair and also just subscribed to their monthly
really?
Service. Yep.
All right, great. I mean, I love that. I mean, what's going on? Like, you just, are you going through underwear that quickly? Or what happens?
I like them so much. I'm like, you know, I could handle getting one of these in the mail every month.
And there now he doesn't have to go to the store.
Never.
Well, that's true.
Never go to the store.
And for Matt, that's a huge selling point.
Being able to stay inside is big.
Nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies. But once you try them, you understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear. It's true. Believe me. It really is. They are incredible.
In this case, they actually can believe you.
And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. No questions asked. That's what I think is amazing. This is a completely, you try them, there's no obligation. So you don't have to sign up for the subscription to get it once a month until you try the underwear on if you want to. You don't even have to do it that way. You can buy them. I mean, so this is a win-win situation. MeUndies has dozens of styles, limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. Remember, Superman, he knows. It's the costume's there, even if he's dressed Clark Kent. Shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada. And you can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan like Matt is on. Get the subscription or a single pair. I want to see if we can actually tell the day after that Matt has got this in the mail. Like if its mood is different in some fashion. And this is a big deal because, I mean, look, I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at Matt. And Matt is wearing what he called his fancy T-shirt. And it's like, we were commenting today that it's got like this weird sort of like very modern, I don't know how to really express it, like a strip of red over his shoulder. And it's like a pattern. And then it turns out that it's actually a red stain from his backpack that he wore when it was raining. And now it looks very fashionable. But the point being that Matt is very fashion forward. So when he says he's signed up to the subscription.
Matt came in last week and he's like.
And here's the deal. If you want to try this one off, you get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/majority. MeUndies.com/majority. You get 20% off your first order. Remember, if you don't love them, they're free. No questions asked. MeUndies, that's MeUndies.com/majority for 20% off.
I just went to the site and there are ladies' versions and a lot of them.
There you go.
Looks great.
All right. We'll see if we can tell.
I just literally had an idea of Donald Trump running like a MeUndies return scam. Being like, I know, wasn't happy. Was not happy with that first pair.
It's Trumper pants.
Not happy at all.
All right, let's listen to this piece by Barack Obama, because there's two things that can happen. Well, there's many things that can happen between now and the election. And I think it's unlikely, but there does appear, based upon all of the leaks that are coming out of the campaign as of literally in the past 24 hours, and then I'm talking about the Trump campaign, that there is like some public attempt to build the premise, to build the predicate for a mass exodus of his staff. And, you know, the way this happens, and really the only way I know this is because I've watched like what happened at Air America, and I watched some very slimy people, how they use the press to leverage things. And we've seen this in the past, you know, I mean, the very big, and it's not an analogy, but it shows the dynamic on how like Dick Cheney leaks stuff to Judith Miller essentially, and then goes on television and cites what Judith Miller is writing. And that's the way you create these sort of like leverage points. And we have heard in the past 24 hours from close confidants of Paul Manafort. He's the campaign manager for Donald Trump, that Manafort is beside himself. He can't get Trump to listen to him, that the sense on the campaign now is near suicidal. Somebody leaked a memo that was sent to all the Trump surrogates saying, pivot away from Khan. Do not attack him anymore. Now, the reason why that memo, which is sent to about 6 or 10 people, is leaked is because someone wants to tell the press and tell the world, we're trying to do the right thing, and our client slash candidate Trump is not listening to us. Okay, that's why we know about that memo. And then we hear secondary sources confirming what John Hardwood reported about Manafort. Now, of course, then Manafort comes out and he says, John Hardwood's wrong. Our communications person is going to put out a release. Right? In other words, like, I'm not going to dispute it myself. Our communications will speak for the campaign. And then the campaign came out with a release saying, John Hardwood's wrong. The campaign's doing great. And then, literally before we come on air, Paul Manafort puts out a statement which ostensibly is supposed to provide some measure of confidence to the people who want confidence in the Trump campaign. I don't know who this is at this point. Saying, quote, the candidate is in control. Which
that's
is...
That's so beautiful.
Which is... a barely passive-aggressive way, barely passive-aggressive way of saying, like, I got nothing to do with what's going on here. I know I'm supposed to be nominally in control of the campaign. I got nothing to do with what's going on here. Now, why is Paul Manafort doing that? Because Paul Manafort is a professional. And by that, I don't mean in terms of his skill sets. I mean in terms of he's in this business to make money long after Donald Trump is not going to be around. And Donald Trump yesterday basically said to Paul Ryan and to John McCain and Kelly Ayotte, F you, remember how you were hesitating about supporting me? Well, guess what? F you. I don't know if I'm going to support you. I don't know if I'm going to support you in your races. Now, there could be multiple things going on why Trump did that. We'll get to that later. But we're watching a near implosion. Like, literally on Twitter, I think it's possible every 15 minutes we're going to see. There was a story from Maggie Haberman that Reince Priebus was so angry that Trump will not endorse Paul Ryan in his primary at this stage. He's just not ready to do it. That
I'm not there yet.
Reince Priebus,
yes,
which is exactly
quoting, Ryan.
Quoting Paul Ryan. But Priebus wants to figure out a way of publicly supporting Ryan. Like, what we're seeing here are like a million tiny little test balloons. And people are trying to figure out, like, how do we get out of this? And one of the ways that they've tried to get out of it. And what we're just seeing, I mean, it's just really, it's just a mass pathology here. But Ross Douthat tried to get out of it by, you know, the best way to avoid actually dealing with an issue is to come up with a thought experiment, right? We know that by now. And, let's play this clip of President Obama, because what it's setting up is this notion that Donald Trump is an extraordinary threat to America beyond the normal threat to America that Republicans represent. And I don't mean, I don't think an existential threat. I think just to, you know, really to a lot of Americans. The Republicans represent a threat. But here is Obama saying this is an extraordinary threat. And I happen to think that sometimes the Republican threat is underestimated by the president. But, you know, we'll let him have the stage. But here he is talking about Donald Trump. And it sets the predicate for what we're going to see next from the so-called responsible conservatives.
Yes, I think the Republican nominee is unfit to serve as president. I said so last week, and he keeps on proving it. The notion that he would attack a Gold Star family that had made such extraordinary sacrifices on behalf of our country. The fact that he doesn't appear to have basic knowledge around critical issues in Europe, in the Middle East, in Asia, means that he's woefully unprepared to do this job. And this is not just my opinion. I think what's been interesting is the repeated denunciations of his statements by leading Republicans, including the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader and prominent Republicans like John McCain. And the question I think that they have to ask themselves is, if you are repeatedly having to say in very strong terms that what he has said is unacceptable, why are you still endorsing him? What does this say about your party that this is your standard bearer? This isn't a situation where you have an episodic gaffe. This is daily and weekly where they are distancing themselves from statements he's making. There has to be a point at which you say, this is not somebody I can support for President of the United States. Even if he purports to be a member of my party. And the fact that that has not yet happened makes some of these denunciations ring hollow.
Now, there's two things that Obama could be doing here. He could be appealing to the better nature of some of the Republican Party leaders and saying, cut Trump loose, ensure his loss for the benefit of the country. Or what he could be doing is be conscious of the fact that every time he opens his mouth, right-wingers necessarily in this country demand the opposite of whatever he says. And what he could be doing is saying, allow me to just sew up that burning tire that is around your neck. Put a little duct tape and strap it to your back, wrap it around your chest, and make sure that this thing doesn't accidentally fall off. So that is what President Obama is doing. And either way, it is fun to watch, particularly at this level of intensity after the convention. The Republicans, obviously, now they really can't do anything about it. And I don't know that someone like Ryan, I have said before that the time that the Republicans will drop Trump is in mid-October when he is down double digits. Now, maybe that will come a little bit earlier. The Olympics may come and distract people for next week. And then who knows? Maybe there'll be something else. I mean, this is not over, but I can tell you that Paul Manafort apparently was on Fox News just moments ago. And following up on the candidate is in control, Manafort said, I'm in control of doing the things he wants me to do in the campaign. So there you have it. It's not just Republican electeds. It's now his own campaign manager who's trying to be very clear. I am being held hostage and I have no No control.
Isn't that what's so great about that? Is that literally the only person who will not understand the signal that Paul Manafort is setting is Donald Trump. Donald Trump's going to read that and be like, exactly, that's great. I think we understand each other. And everybody else is going to be like, whoa, he's really dissociating himself here. And Trump's going to be like, no, that's great. He gets it. He understands.
It depends apparently on what's on TV, because apparently that's what Paul Manafort has leaked out to people, that Trump, when he's not tweeting or speaking, he's just watching TV to get his information.
Stop interrupting me. I'm watching TV. You know what I like? I could see Barack. He's going up to Paul Ryan like, this is called a necklace. It was created by the ANC in the 1980s during the liberation struggle. What you do is you get the tire nice and snug.
Right, exactly.
And I'm going to put a little gasoline on that.
All right. But so here is, so this sets the predicate for Ross Douthat's column. And he's talking about the convention, but what Obama just said a couple of days after the Democratic convention is basically his what Douthat is making his point on. He writes an article, Liberalism's Big Bet. And he talks about the DNC by saying, anyone who came of age with Ronald Reagan found more to recognize in the Democratic Party rhetoric last week than in Donald Trump's self-aggrandizing George Wallace imitation. But it was also just a gesture. Yes. Hillary Clinton's domestic agenda is not strikingly, unifyingly bipartisan. The showmanship was. She's running as a liberal, full stop, with a platform well to the left of where her party stood 5 or 10 or 20 years ago. All of that is true. And that echoes, I think, what I was saying on Friday. The showmanship part of it, as he calls it, was Republican-ish. But her rhetoric and the agenda was to the left of where we've been at least in 20 years. At least in 20 years, I would say. At least in terms of the campaign from the presidential nominee. But he goes on to say that the Democrats, though, are making it sound like Donald Trump is an emergency that must be stopped at all costs. But instead of offering substantive concessions, Douthat complains, she's telling them, it's me or Trump, and you know you can't put the nuclear codes in his undersized hands, so my offer is nothing. But here's a flag to cheer you up. So Douthat...
Sounds great.
Douthat is upset. Because he feels that if the Democrats really believe that Donald Trump is a threat to the country, to bring along Republicans, they should offer something to Republicans. And he says, imagine if you're one of the church-going voters, Catholic, evangelical, or Mormon, repelled by Trump's Vulgarian style, his bigotry and misogyny. Now it sounds to me like we've actually limited that subset significantly. However, he goes on to complain, but Clinton, on social issues in her party, aren't even offering the fig leaf of her husband's safe, legal, and rare formulation. In other words, you're not saying that abortion is icky enough. So any pro-lifer inclined to cast a vote for Hillary has no cover. To stop Trump, they have to cast a baldly pro-abortion vote. Or imagine, he writes, you're one of the many Americans conflicted about immigration policy. You view immigrants favorably. You find Trump's rhetoric toxic. But you also favor limits on migration, and you want to make sure that the law is respected and enforced. You would be happy to vote for Hillary Clinton of the early 2000s, but that Clinton is long gone. Her party's evolving toward the position that illegal aliens saved for criminals and terrorists should never be deported once they've reached our soil. Now, and imagine if you're a fiscal conservative who appreciated Bill Clinton's budgets. Trump looks to you like a big government populist, not a budget cutter. So fiscally sober Democrat would obviously represent the better choice. But as Vox's Andrew Propcut pointed out, there wasn't even a nod to entitlement reform or the deficit, no mention of the cost of excessive regulation or the virtues of free trade, no real hint of how this largesse might be paid for. It was just great society liberalism come round again, saner than Trumpism, but to your ears, ideologically similar at the bottom. Now, it's true if elected, Hillary couldn't implement all these proposals, but the absence of outreach is still notable, especially in a campaign the Democrats are casting as kind of a national emergency. I won't accuse them of putting party ahead of country. That party nominated Donald Trump, has cornered the market on that sin. But strategically, there are risks. Okay, so what this is the opening salvo in what we're going to see over the next several weeks, where centrists, third wayers, supposedly sensible conservative types, implore, for the sake of the country, Hillary Clinton to move to the right, to give Trump supporters or Republicans who don't want to support Trump a soft landing. Now, let me just go through these 3 points quickly to just debunk them, because they're all straw men. I mean, it's a joke. There is at least 30% of the Republican Party that thinks that abortions should be legal in and available to women. That's all we need. Hillary Clinton doesn't need to pander to the Catholic and evangelical and Mormon subset of Republican voters, even smaller, who are repelled by his bigotry and misogyny. By offering some type of fig leaf. It's far more important for her to maintain her base than to reach that far. So that's silly. That's just silliness. In terms of the immigration policy, if you are one of the Americans who view immigrants favorably, but you find Trump's rhetoric toxic, but you also favor limits on migration and you want to make sure that the law is respected and enforced, you could, A, vote for Clinton with no problem, but, B, you should also vote against all of your Republican lawmakers who voted against comprehensive immigration reform when it was on the table on multiple occasions over the past 10 years. And three, you know what? Republicans don't care about a deficit. They don't. You're kidding yourself. This is basically Ross Douthat saying, this is how I could vote for Hillary Clinton, and trying to justify the fact that his party created Donald Trump. And when he goes on to offer on Twitter this thought experiment about, well, can you imagine if the Democrats had a Donald Trump? And some guy over at Slate says, what if Sean Penn was the Democratic nominee? This is the functional equivalent of saying, I'm going to give you a hypothetical about, okay, two people have a race. One person wins. Here's a hypothetical. What if there was no gravity? Would that other person win? Because the idea that a Donald Trump, or that there could be a Democratic analog to Donald Trump, is impossible. Because this is not about Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't win a lottery. Donald Trump wasn't beamed here from the future, like he was on the board of on the deck of the USS Enterprise, and he and Mr. Spock and Captain Kirk came down to America, and all of a sudden Donald Trump just fell into the suit of Dr. Spock. No, Dr.
Dr. Sulu.
Doesn't matter. The point being, Donald Trump didn't just show up. Donald Trump was created by all of those Republican voters. The analog for Donald Trump and the Republican Party is Donald Trump and the Republican Party. There is, it is a particularly unique set of circumstances that led to Donald Trump. And those unique circumstances were millions upon millions of Republican voters who would never be Democratic voters. There is no analog. If Sean Penn ran for president seeking the Democratic nomination, he could hold every single position. You could poll every single Democrat. Find the one that has every 70% support throughout. And if he exhibited the hostility towards government, the hostility to other people, the complete lack of awareness or interest in policy as Donald Trump has, he wouldn't win a single primary. It's just an absurd point. It's a totally absurd point. There is no Democratic analog because of the nature. And when Ross Douthat and others even offer this thought experiment, what they are doing is fundamentally denying that there is a problem with the Republican Party. This is a broken party. You can only get a Donald Trump if you have literally millions of people who have been corralled into waiting for a Donald Trump. And for there to be a Democratic version of a Donald Trump, you'd need a 30-year project of destroying everything the Democratic Party stands for. There is no analog. And when Ross Douthat even asked the question, he is denying his own responsibility in creating Donald Trump. Because he's been sitting on the New York Times op-ed page for years as the Donald Trump project has been built.
He's also not acknowledging the fact that, in fact, the Republican Party platform is a great reflection of all of the reactionary projects that he's been pushing for his whole writing career.
But this year is just, I mean, the platform is just this year. I mean, if you're talking about it, that came out of the RNC. I mean, it's unique because it's conservative. It's been, I don't know.
Well,
maybe
very specifically,
ever, because
Ross Douthat is the type of guy who writes on, you know, porn is the greatest public health crisis and that type of thing. I mean, that is his specific ballywick.
Yes.
So this is like,
But
so there's an irony to it.
That's off point. Yep. Yes. It's ironic, irony. But that's off point. But
ironically off point.
Yes.
But interesting.
Also, Sean Penn is a really bad example because he actually he wouldn't be...
Well, there's no good example.
There's no good example.
There is no good example. They tried to bring up on Hayes last night, they tried to raise Alan Grayson, who it appears, if these reports are true, and they appear to be, seems to be a rather bad person involved in domestic abuse over the course of 20 some odd years. I mean, I don't know the reality of this, but the fact is that Move On has just refused to endorse two other organizations, PCCC, I can't remember the other one, have taken their endorsements away in his primary. I mean, there's nothing remotely close. It doesn't. You could say Sean Penn. You could say Roseanne Barr. You could say anybody. There is no bad or good analog to this because there is no analog. The analog is, the problem is, the issue is not Donald Trump. The issue is the Republican base. So the real question is, does the Democratic Party have the capacity to be the Republican Party? And the answer is no. End of story. So yes, Sean Penn's a bad idea. That piece was horribly written by some hack who jumped into the fray to get a piece that would get bait click. But it doesn't even matter. Because anybody would be a bad analog because it's impossible. You need the Republicans there first before you make any type of analog.
But new character. I would love the baby to stay. Psych, I actually don't like baby.
Who's that, Sean Penn?
Barack Obama, Donald Trump. It's like, by the way, I have a great brain. I have the
Sean
best memory.
Penn went to Haiti and actually did
He's empathetic, without a doubt.
Work there. Well, but he has the bad stuff, too. He has the 20 years ago domestic violence. He also was a gun enthusiast until really recently. It's just an odd...
Well, they're just trying to force a round peg into a square hole. All right, we're going to take a break, head into the fun half. We've got some sound, and we've got one story that involves a pre-adolescent, and I want to get our pre-adolescent correspondent, who's in studio with us today, to comment on this. The number is 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920, if you want. Hey, folks, don't forget, it is your support that makes this show possible. We cannot do it without you. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com right now and become a member. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY to get 10% off. Also, if you buy your crap from Amazon, the least you can do is buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Also, jet.com. I did see the stuff about potentially being bought by Walmart, but for the time being, jet.com, great place to shop. I mean, you know, look, at the end
what
of the day...
What do I know? I just see what's on internet.
You know, it... I will say this. I mean, better, you know, I guess at the very least, to prevent Amazon from being a monopoly. Well, I don't know. But go to majorityreportkickback.com. But screw all that. Just become a member. Join the majorityreport.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Got that.